message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You know, most people I know enjoy celebrating holidays. In fact, some holidays are so closely associated with particular dates that if I mentioned those dates, I'm sure that you'd know the holiday that goes with it. Let's give it a try. For example, if I say the fourth Thursday of November, you'd say
Thanksgiving.
If I'd say December 25th, you'd say
Christmas.
If I'd say February 14th, you'd say
Valentine's.
Let's try one more. If I'd say October 31st, you'd say the first service actually did a little better. They all said Reformation. Now, of course, October 31st is Halloween. Harvey was excited about it. And it's all right to have good, innocent fun. Lots of people do that in America. But you know, there's a less well-known celebration associated with October 31st, and that is the Reformation. You see, on October 31st in 1517, Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the church door in Wittenberg. And many mark this event as the beginning of the Reformation. But of course, many people nowadays wonder what the Reformation is. Well, simply put, Luther and others used God's word to correct the errors of others who had strayed from the clear message of Scripture and were guilty of promoting false teaching that was leading people into sin and unbelief. Now, there were various errors that needed to be corrected, but the primary error that had to be corrected was the wicked idea that we sinners need to do various things to make ourselves worthy of the salvation that Jesus can give us. You see, the Church of Luther's day was teaching that Christ's mercy had to be merited by us performing various good works as defined by the Church. Now, this evil teaching eventually led to the practice of selling indulgences. Now, an indulgence was an official piece of paper signed by the Pope in Rome. And some were teaching that you could purchase complete and total salvation for yourself and even for others simply by paying the right amount of money for one of these indulgences signed by the Pope. Now, this salvation by human works idea not only led people to trust in themselves and their money instead of Jesus, but this evil error also gave people the wrong idea about God. They thought of God as some vengeful deity whose mercy could be bought at the right price. How horrible! In fact, that way of thinking actually led to the idea that you could actually sin as long as you did enough good things to make God happy. What a terrible teaching. And sadly, there were many in Luther's day who affirmed this false teaching. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit moved Luther and others to use Holy Scripture to bring righteous judgment against these errors in the hope that people would repent and trust in Christ alone. However, you need to know that this was not the first time in history that faithful Christians had to oppose the evil affirmation of error by proclaiming the righteous judgment of God's Word. Since the time of Adam and Eve, God had moved His people to use His Word to make righteous judgments about what is evil and about what is good. If you read the Old Testament, for instance, we find many examples of God's people using His Word to rebuke sin so that people would repent and trust in God's salvation. And when we get to the New Testament, we see Jesus Himself constantly condemning evil behavior and wicked ideas that were being affirmed by many in that day. Jesus proclaimed righteous judgment against sin so that people would repent and trust in Him alone for salvation and the strength to live a new life. And my friends, things haven't changed for us in our day. God still calls His people to speak the truth in love, in the hope that people will be brought to repentance and be set free from the evil affirmation of sin so prevalent in our society and sadly even in some Christian denominations. Now today, as I mentioned, we continue our sermon series, Dying to Live the Baptized Life. Over the last few weeks, we've learned that God uses baptism to connect us to the saving death and resurrection of Jesus. And by the power of our baptism, God moves us to die to the affirmation of evil so that we can make righteous judgments and live the new life that God wants us to live. Now, if you look at your first reading in your bulletin, the first reading from Ephesians, you will see that in the first part of that reading, Paul makes it clear that we baptized Christians are to say no to the evil affirmation so common among those who refuse to hear God's word. Paul then goes on to say the following about what it means to live the baptized life. He says, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." That's just Paul's way of saying what it means to live the baptized life. Now, after writing these words, Paul goes on to list in very specific ways the evil that we should avoid and also the good that we should embrace. So during this week, I'd encourage you to meditate on that last half of our reading from Ephesians, that God might teach you in some very specific ways what it means for you to live the baptized life. However, at this point, there is something I want to stress. I want to stress that our motivation for living the baptized life is not that we will somehow impress God and convince Him to forgive us and love us. Remember, that was the error that Luther fought against in the Reformation. He fought against the idea that we do good works to somehow manipulate God and get Him to love us. No. We need to realize what the Bible teaches. The very moment that God baptized you, the very moment that He used His word to call you to faith in Christ, at that very moment you were completely forgiven, holy and righteous in His sight. You are no more saved now than you were the day you were baptized. Therefore, our motive for living the baptized life is not trying to earn God's love. We already have it. Our motive for living the baptized life is not to get forgiveness. We already have it. Instead, the reason we live the baptized life is that we are thereby giving thanks and praise to God for His free gift of mercy and love. Living the baptized life is the result of Christ living in us. It's what we Christians do. However, what if you get to a point in your life where you start to refuse to hear what God's word says about your sin? What if you begin to affirm the very things that God's word condemns? Well, then you are living in unbelief, you have turned away from your baptism, and you are calling God a liar. As the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, he says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives." Sadly, there are some people today who have been baptized, but the devil has led them to now doubt God's word. Sometimes there are people who are involved in certain sins, and even though they hear God's word condemning them, they refuse to believe it, and they continue doing what they want to do. Simply put, if we affirm what God condemns, then we can't receive the free mercy of Christ. Think about it. You can't receive forgiveness for your sins if you deny that you have them. So if you refuse to believe what God says about the sins in your life, then you can't receive mercy. If you cling to one or more favorite sins as though you have a right to those sins, then you are actually mocking Christ who died for those sins, that you might be set free from them. We learn about this horrible fate in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only the fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. Now, my friends, please understand something. The Bible is clear that God is love and he is merciful. He doesn't want any sinner to perish. However, the Bible is also clear that God is holy and he is just. He must punish those who insist on being his enemies. The amazing thing, though, is that God was willing to save his enemies by putting our sins on Jesus so that through him we might be forgiven and live a new life. But you know what the devil wants us to say when we hear the good news? Here's what the devil wants us to say. Oh God, you put your own son on the cross to set me free from sin? Well, you see, God, there's a few sins I don't want to be set free from, so I want those sins back. I want to do what I want to do in certain cases. So, God, thanks for sending Jesus to the cross, but no thanks. There's certain parts of my life where I want to be free to do as I please. If that is our evil attitude, then we will face God's wrath on the final day. But we need to remember that God doesn't want to condemn any sinner. In fact, that's why God proclaims righteous judgment against our evil affirmation of sin. God does this to humble us and bring us to repentance so that we can receive the mercy and salvation of Jesus. In fact, that is exactly what Jesus is trying to teach us in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 7. Please look at that in your bulletin. I need to now say that this text of Scripture is one of the most misused and misapplied Bible passages there is. For example, there are many people in our culture who don't know the Bible, but they know this one Bible verse. They will say, judge not, and you will not be judged. But they wrongly use those words of Jesus to suggest that he doesn't want us to rebuke anyone for any sin whatsoever. In fact, according to those who misuse this text, the only sin that is worthy of judgment is the sin of telling other people that they're sinning. But that's not what Jesus is teaching us in our gospel reading. First of all, you need to look at the context and realize that Jesus is condemning the sinful judging that was common among the Jewish leaders of his day. And sinful judging has three aspects to it. First, sinful judging is when I impose my personal opinions on people rather than simply pointing them to the Word of God. So sinful judging means first imposing your personal opinions on people. Secondly, sinful judging is when I fail to point people to Jesus for mercy and the salvation that can alone come from him. Instead, sinful judging tends to point people to their own obedience and say, hey, if you want God to forgive you, you've got to clean up your act first and obey perfectly. Only then will he forgive you. Finally, sinful judging means that I tend to think a little too highly of myself. Sinful judging means that I think I'm better and less sinful than the people I'm judging. And such sinful judging is sternly condemned by Jesus. However, Jesus does not condemn righteous judging. In fact, if you read the New Testament, you find out that everywhere Jesus expects us to engage in righteous judging. And just like sinful judging, righteous judging has three aspects to it. First, righteous judging is when I use God's word alone to show people how they're sinning. In other words, it's not about my opinion, it's about the Word of God and what He says. Secondly, righteous judging is when I point repentant sinners to Jesus and how through faith in Him they are completely forgiven and set free from the guilt of their sin. Righteous judging means that we tell people it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, through Jesus you can be forgiven and have a new life. Finally, righteous judging means that I recognize that I am just as sinful and in just as need of Jesus as the person I'm trying to help. When we try to point out other people's sin, we're very aware that we too are sinners and we need Jesus just as much as they do. So in our gospel reading, Jesus says, first, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So we are to remove the speck, but first we remove our own. Yes, first we must confess our own sins and trust in Jesus ourselves for the mercy and the strength we need to live the baptized life. Then we will be in a position to help those who are enslaved by sin and need to be set free. We proclaim righteous judgment so that people will repent of their sin and trust in Jesus for mercy and the strength to live a new life. In fact, if you read the Bible, it's full of examples of righteous judging. So those people who say that God doesn't want us to tell anybody about their sin aren't reading the Bible. The Bible is full of examples of righteous judging. In fact, we heard about this in our second reading from James chapter 5. I'd encourage you to read that text from James every so often to remind yourself that God expects us to engage in righteous judging for the sake of those who have been led away from the truth. Imagine, the Reformation would have never happened if it were not for righteous judgment. However, we also need to remember that there are other texts of Scripture that speak to this clearly as well. Let me just give you a few. Leviticus 19:17 reads, "Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in his guilt." In Luke 17, verse 3, we hear these words of Jesus. He says, "Watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Also in Galatians 6:1, the Apostle Paul says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." And there are many, many other scriptures just like this. Therefore, living the baptized life means that we say no to the evil affirmation of sin so common in our society, and yes to the righteous judgment that God wants us to live. We begin by taking the plank out of our own eye. We don't affirm the sins that God's Word exposes in our lives. Instead, we repent of them and we trust in Jesus alone for mercy. And that's good news. As Harvey said, it's good news. You can come to God with all your sins, including your sin of evil affirmation, including your sin of failing to exercise righteous judgment. You see, I'm no better than you are. I look at my 44 years of life and I hang my head in shame because there are many times throughout my life when I was silent and I should have said something. I could have helped a brother who was struggling with sin, but I didn't say a word because either I was scared or I was just apathetic. But you know what? Even though we have all failed to be the kind of righteous judges we should be, we can come to God with that sin and know that through Jesus we are completely forgiven and holy in God's sight. My friends, my message for you today is you are forgiven. God washed away the guilt of your sin in the waters of holy baptism, and Christ's love covers the multitude of your sins. And my friends, as the Spirit moves in us to keep us in a life of repentance and faith in Jesus, He will also give us the desire and the ability and the opportunity to remove the speck from our brothers and sisters' eyes. So my friends, if you know a person who was caught in a sin, pray that God will give you the courage and the opportunity and the tact to speak the truth in love to that person, so that by God's grace that person might be led to repentance and faith in Christ and have their sins, the multitude of their sins, covered by the love of Christ. Yes, my friends, God will use us to show people that their sin is condemned by God's Word and that they deserve His wrath like we do. But then we get to point them to Jesus, who was damned in our place, and how through Him we can be forgiven and have the strength to live a new life, saying no to the evil affirmation of sin and yes to all the righteous things God would have us do. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther exercised righteous judgment by posting the 95 Theses. We remember how God used him and others to use God's word to proclaim righteous judgment against the evil errors that were being affirmed in that day. And guess what? The Reformation continues in our day. It continues as God uses us to live the baptized life. The mercy and love of God moves us to say no to the affirmation of evil and yes to making righteous judgments, because it is those righteous judgments that move people to cling to Christ and rejoice in His salvation and by His grace live the baptized life. Amen. Now may the peace of